A cold breeze wafted through my hair. The wind was perfect for kite flying, blowing just hard enough to give some lift and make the sweeps easier. Next to me, Hassan held the spool, his hands already bloodied by the string. Soon the cutting started, and the first of the defeated kites whirled out of control. They fell from the sky like shooting stars with brilliant rippling tails, showering the neighborhoods below with prizes for the kite runners. I could hear the runners now, hollering as they ran the streets. Someone shouted reports of a fight breaking out two streets down. I kept stealing glances at Baba sitting with Rahim Khan on the roof and wondered what he was thinking. Was he cheering for me? Or did a part of him enjoy watching me fail? That was the thing about kite flying. Your mind drifted with the kite. They were coming down all over the place now, the kites, and I was still flying. I was still flying. My eyes kept wandering over to Baba, bundled up in his wool coat. Was he surprised that I had lasted as long as I had? You don't keep your eyes to the sky. You won't last much longer, I thought. I snapped my gaze back to the sky. A red kite was closing in on me. I'd caught it just in time. I tangled a bit with it and ended up besting him when he became impatient and tried to cut me from below. Up and down the streets, kite runners were returning triumphantly, their captured kites held high. They showed them off to their parents and their friends. But they all knew the best was yet to come. The biggest prize of all was still flying. I sliced a bright yellow kite with a coiled white tail. It cost me another gash on the index finger and blood trickled down into my palm. I had Hassan hold the string and suck the blood dry and blotted my fingers against my jeans. Within another hour, the number of surviving kites dwindled from maybe 50 to a dozen. I was one of them. I had made it to the last dozen. I knew this part of the tournament would take a while, because the guys who had lasted this long were good. They wouldn't easily fall into simple traps like the old lift and dive, Hassan's favorite trick. By 3 o'clock that afternoon, tufts of clouds had drifted in and the sun had slipped behind them. Shadows started to lengthen. The spectators on the roofs bundled up in scarves and thick coats. We were down to a half dozen, and I was still flying. My legs ached and my neck was stiff. But with each defeated kite, hope grew in my heart, like snow collecting on a wall, one flake at a time. My eyes kept returning to a blue kite that had been wreaking havoc for the last hour. "How many has he cut?" I asked. "I counted 11," Hassan said. "Do you know whose it might be?" Hassan clucked his tongue and tipped his chin. That was a trademark Hassan gesture and meant he had no idea. The blue kite sliced a big purple one and swept twice in big loops. 10 minutes later, he'd cut another two, sending hordes of kite runners racing after them. After another 30 minutes, only 4 kites remained, and I was still flying. It seemed I could hardly make a wrong move, as if every gust of wind blew in my favor. I'd never felt so in command, so lucky. It felt intoxicating. I didn't dare look up to the roof. I didn't dare take my eyes off the sky. I had to concentrate and play it smart. Another 15 minutes, and what had seemed like a laughable dream that morning had suddenly become reality. It was just me and the other guy, the blue kite. The tension in the air was as taut as the glass string I was tugging with my bloody hands. People were stomping their feet and clapping, whistling, chanting, "Buburish! Buburish! Cut him! Cut him!"